We're back with Bruce Brumberg, Editor-in-Chief of MyNQDC.com, to talk a little bit more about the core concepts in non-qualified deferred comp.
What types of compensation can I put into this plan?
Well, I mean, you know, it really depends on the plan. There's no formal rule from the, you know, the IRS or the Treasury Department about what kind of compensation works. In fact, these areas are fairly unregulated, but it can be base salary, it can be bonuses, it can be commissions, it can be, you know, cash payments under long-term incentive plans, and there's also can be restricted stock units, which are another kind of, you know, deferred compensation plan. And also it can apply to directors for their fees and retainers.
So how much of my compensation can I defer?
Again, it depends on your plan. There are no formal government requirements. For example, with an elective-type deferred compensation plan, companies may allow up to 100% of the bonuses, but for salary, they may only allow 50%. Again, that's not a requirement, but if there is a difference between how much you can defer of salary and bonus, usually you can defer a lot more of bonus. And that often is a common arrangement. They'll allow a greater deferral of bonuses, and you see that as sort of extra money you can put aside for certain life goals or for retirement. Now, with what's called a SERP, a Supplemental Employee Retirement Plan, you're not actually deferring income. You know, a SERP is more like a pension plan, a defined benefit plan, so you're not actually deciding how much to defer, although there's a calculation for your payout based on how much you were making. Now, how much you should defer, it's up to you and your financial advisor. You know, you want to, you know, max out on what you can under your qualified plans, like your 401k. But it should be based on your current and future financial needs. I mean, what your cash flow needs are now and in the future. And also, when you think about your distribution elections, when you want to get the money, it's the same thing. You're trying to make some predictions about your cash flow needs going forward.
You mentioned SERPs. Are those also unsecured?
Yes, SERPs are also unsecured. The main focus of MyNQDC.com is on the elective deferral type plans where you have a cash, bonus, salary, you know, incentive compensation, whatever you're deferring. The other kind is more like a defined benefit plan where the company is guaranteeing pretty much you're going to get X amount of money. And it's putting money aside, you know, informally into these kind of plans. Like, it's like a pension plan, but it's non-qualified. And you're not deferring your money, and it's based on a calculation that the company will tell you about. You know, let's say it's some average of your final 5 years' compensation. That's what you're going to get over the amount you'd be allowed under a qualified plan.
So what are some of the different names? I know we say, NQDC or non-qualified deferred comp. There are a bunch of other names, aren't there?
Yeah, you know, non-qualified deferred compensation, it's a mouthful. Obviously, professionals in the field think of it that way. But your company may have some, you know, shorter way to explain it. And they may not even use the word deferred compensation because people, you know, may not fully know what that is. But, you know, they can be called many things with many acronyms and many abbreviations. It could be called a salary deferral plan. It could be an elective deferral plan. It could be a bonus deferral plan. It could be just a non-qualified deferral plan, a non-qualified contribution plan, 401k excess plan, a 401k MIRA plan, a top hat plan. You know, it's called all different things. Top hat plan, yes. Yeah. In fact, that comes from the sort of Labor Department, ERISA rules and regulations on it that, you know, the plans really have to be just for the top hat people, the top people.
So are only senior executives able to participate in these plans? Or, I mean, you said previously contractors, that sort of thing?
Well, it doesn't have to be someone actually on your staff. I mean, it's not as common. It's usually for your employees, you know, the highly paid employees who, you know, want to put away more than they can under their, you know, the standard qualified retirement plans. I mean, sometimes they're called top hat plans, so that makes people think it's only for the, you know, top hat people, you know, just the senior executives whose names are listed in the proxy. You know, if a company has one of these plans, then it's likely that, you know, executives will be able to participate, but there's also usually a cutoff level in the company. And it could include vice presidents, it could include highly paid salespeople, division managers. I mean, you know, again, the plan is most valuable for anyone who has enough income to defer more than is allowed under the 401k rules.
So when it comes to getting the money, am I able to get the money out before I retire, or is once the date's set, there's no way I can get it out before that? And, I mean, what if I leave the job or I retire or if I die, what happens to it? I mean, there are all these events that can happen. That, how does that affect distribution?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important when you enroll in the plan to look at the plan and look at the actual form, you know, in paper or online for how distributions are made. You know, what are the sort of distribution triggers? It could be that, you only have a distribution trigger that occurs once you actually retire and leave the company. Or it could be that you have distribution elections that allow you to select certain years in the future when you're still actually working at the company, what's called an in-service distribution, to get distributions. And you're not only electing when you get them, but you're also electing the form. In other words, you're getting a lump sum or you're getting an installment payment. You may also be electing how long after that event occurs you get the distribution. Now, companies can have distributions, and again, it could be based on an election or could that you make at the beginning, or based on mandatory provisions for certain, you know, life events like death, disability, financial hardship, job loss, you know, change in control. But you definitely can have something where you can just say, hey, guess what? I want my distribution. Send it to me. And if it's a really old plan, you know, where the amounts were put into it, invested before 2005, you perhaps may be allowed to do that and take a little haircut. But any plan, you know, adopted in the last 5 years for more money you've put into it, you're not going to be able to do that. So it's going to have provisions in the plan for distributions for all these events. And often these events, like a job loss, may even override the elections you might have made for other things. So let's say you have an election in the plan to get the money, 10 years from now, 11 years from now, 12 years from now to fund your kid's college, but you lose your job before that. There's going to be another provision in there that distributes the money for job loss. So those triggers that are in the plan will override any elections you have. So you want to look at those provisions in your plan. What are the triggers? What is the form of payment, meaning lump sum or installment, and how long after does it start?
So, I mean, these are some pretty important elections to pay attention to. What else do I need to know and do when I enroll?
Well, there's a few different things that when you enroll, you have to think about what you need to decide. And there's a few steps, you know, that you need to think through during this sort of deferral election period. Usually for salary compensation, it's going to be perhaps the last few months before the year you're actually going to earn the money. And then if it's a bonus or performance-based, you may have a little more flexibility about the timing. But even that, the election needs to be at least 6 months before the end of a performance period. So you're going to have to decide, first, how much are you going to put aside? Is it going to, and it could be a dollar amount, or it could be a percentage of your compensation. And you have to decide this, you know, pretty long before you get it. The next thing you need to decide is when you want the money to be distributed in the future. And you want to look at what elections your company gives you for the future dates. Do they have certain mandatory provisions? Do they allow you to select a date in the future when you're still employed? They may allow you to take an amount you're deferring, let's say, for next year and allocate it into these sort of hypothetical investment accounts. So you may not have to defer all the money for one particular year. You have to decide on the form of distribution, as I was mentioning before in your question about lump sum or installment. You need to decide on your investment allocation. Again, you're not investing it directly, but what the company will do is they'll give you this investment choice, let's say, or a set crediting rate, a set return on the money. But let's say you have an investment choice, which is much more likely now, and it'll be, you know, a menu of investments, and you pick that allocation you want. And then the company on its side is most likely going to mirror that and do the same thing. Then you have to decide on any beneficiaries you want to have for your plan, too. So these are some of the things. And again, your plan may have some mandatory provisions on some of them, like, you know, how the money is going to be distributed or what the form of the distribution is going to be.
Thanks for filling us in a little bit more on the basics of non-qualified deferred comp. For more information about this and many other subjects related to non-qualified deferred comp, visit mynqdc.com.